Okay, I'm sure this is the diagram that everyone wants to see at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Israel. But there's going to be two diagrams that are going to be necessary as we finish off Perek Yud Beis and Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay, my focus is, even though the Rambam spends a lot of time on the mathematics part, and since we are doing Rambam Yomi, we're going to have to read through it, I think it's more important we understand the premises the Rambam's operating with, which will make it a lot easier to appreciate why these calculations emerged. Okay, so this is a very good diagram to help us out for what we're going to be accomplishing. So as we recall, the orbit of the sun, okay, goes in a perfect circle, so to speak. Okay, so that's in these two images here. You have the filled-in line here that the sun is traveling around. And then you have the dotted line, which we'll get to in a second, what that represents. But the point is, the sun always circles around, always orbits in a perfect circle. And it's very important to understand that was a very important idea up until the time of Kepler, that everything operated in perfect geometric shapes. So as we know, orbits actually are run on what's called an ellipsis. That was not a possibility. That was not a possibility thought of in the times of the Rambam. So rather, they looked at everything at perfect circles. Okay, so we also know, so we know one thing we know is that the sun travels in a perfect circle at uniform speed around and around and around. We also know, though, that the position of the Earth, okay, now we're looking down, so to speak, like an aerial view, the position of the Earth, right, is not directly in the center of the sun's orbit. So as I've mentioned in the past, what that leads to is, that leads to a strange thing. Number one, it leads to the sun appearing to travel sometimes faster and slower in the sky. And the other thing it leads to is the sun appearing to be closer or further away. So those discrepancies had to be dealt with while maintaining the idea of a perfect circle. So again, there's the idea of the sun's orbit, which is considered the Mahalach Emtzai, or the mean orbit of the sun. That's always going to be a perfect circle. So from the sun's perspective, it's always traveling in a perfect circle. But when it comes from our perception from Earth, well, we see it, which he calls Amiti, so that's always going to look a little bit different. So just in this diagram here, looking at Aleph over here, all right, if the sun is going around as it comes up north, so to speak, or up, so then it appears further away, and then as it comes here, it gets closer, okay? So that's one thing to understand. Now, there were other discrepancies they noticed. These calculations couldn't fully explain the various views of the sun's position relative to our perception on Earth. So there was another thing they added into the picture, which we're going to start off with today, which is called the gova, the apogee, the point where the sun is furthest from the Earth. Now, before you yell at me, okay, understand that the sun itself, okay, doesn't travel further away, because the sun, it's always going in the same circle. But the actual orbit itself, okay, sits in this other thing, which here he calls the Kadur HaShemayim, okay, and that other thing also moves. So if you look at this diagram here, again, look, now we can take into account the filled-in circle and the dotted line, okay? In other words, here in the filled-in circle, okay, in this circle here, so the sun is still doing its regular orbit, but right at the top here, where the Beis and Gimel line up, the Beis is no different in the sun's orbit at any other point in the circle, okay? But from the Gova perspective, at this point here, it is furthest away from Earth, okay? And again, if you move into the dotted one, okay, we see the same thing down over here, right? So what this led to is this led to answering some other discrepancies that took place. But what's important to understand is that the gova also moved. So not only does the sun move in its locked circular orbit, okay, it's also its orbit itself, so to speak, is moved. Like the orbit itself is moved based on this gova idea. The gova, the apogee, the furthest point of the sun from the Earth, is something that also moved very, very, very slowly over a long period of time, much slower relative to the orbit of the sun itself. But I know it's a tricky idea to understand, but it's very important to understand that idea, because this is actually my drawing. I hope it's okay. You're going to need it to understand this as well. So if the Earth is over here, okay, and remember, if the Earth is off-center, so Amiti is what we perceive the sun to be. Okay, we see the sun, let's say here, at 25 degrees. But in truth, if you actually took the circle of the sun's orbit, it would actually be at approximately 30 degrees, give or take. So there's a big difference between what we perceive and the actual location of the sun vis-a-vis its orbit. If you add in the gova, okay, the gova also plays a role in determining the mean position of the sun. One thing also to keep in mind is that when the sun, when there is one point in this circle, okay, where when the sun's orbit hits 180 degrees in the circle, okay, halfway around the circle, right, that the amiti and the actual position of the sun line up. So there's one point, so to speak, where when you look at the sun, not only looking at the earth perception of the sun, right, which is the amiti, you're also looking at the true position of the sun relative to its orbit itself. Okay, so one more time to make sure we're all on the same page, because this other variable is going to be very tricky. We have to understand that there is the earth is not centered underneath the sun's orbit. Therefore, the sun appears to be further away or closer. It also appears to go faster and slower. But we also know that the sun, again, based on their understanding, the sun exists in a perfect circular orbit. All right, it's stuck in a uniform speed in a perfect circle. Right. So how do you explain these discrepancies? So one method of explaining the discrepancy is noting full well that A, we're on it, we see it in an angular way, so therefore our perception leads to one idea of where the sun is versus where the sun actually is. And another way to compensate for some of these discrepancies is this idea of gova, this other sphere, so to speak, which actually has an effect on the orbit itself. Again, the sun will always continue on its own orbit, but the position of the orbit will actually be moved because of the gova. So that means that when I look up at the sun and I see the sun furthest away, or when it's furthest away from Earth, it's not that the orbit of the sun is expanded. It's always that same circle. It's that the circle itself, so to speak, is moved, is at a certain position relative to the gova. So that's the nature of the gova's relationship to the orbit of the sun. Okay, that being the case, now let's take a look at what the Rambam actually says in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Beis. So he says, Nikuda achas yesh begalgal hashemesh, v'chein b'shar galgali hashiva kochavim. So there's one point, okay, in the orbits of the sun, for example, and all the other planets, be'esh yeh kochav ba yeh gova me'al aretz kol ma'odo. So it's the point where the sun or that other star, whatever the star, again, the planets might be, where it's actually furthest from the earth itself. Ve'oso ha'nikuda shagagal hashemesh yushar kochavim, chutz m'nerech, soveves b'shaveh. That's the hard part to understand. Okay, that, except for the sun and for all the planets, not the moon. The moon has its own orbit, which we'll get to in a couple of prakim, but this apogee, this high point, okay, that itself is something that rotates. Okay, so the apogee, the gova itself rotates. But it's a very slow rotation. So that other sphere, which is the gova, that actually rotates very, very slowly. So basically, it's about 1 degree in 7 years. And what's it called? Unukuda zu hi hanikres gova. So that is the apogee. That is, again, the gova operates on its own system of movement. And the orbit of the sun, so to speak, is stuck in that. So it affects not the circle of the orbit, but rather the position of the overall orbit in it. Okay. Yes. First, I'll put it a different way. Think about it. In other words, we know that when we look at the sun, I'm going to make up some numbers, okay? Let's say this is completely inaccurate, but I think that it's an easy way to describe it, okay? Again, this is not accurate in what I'm saying, but it's a good way to think about it. On January 5th, 2019, the furthest the sun appeared from Earth, let's say, that was the day where the sun appeared furthest from Earth. So let's say January 5th, 2019 was the day that the sun appeared furthest from the Earth, okay? If the sun was on a perfect circle, even with the angular version of it, meaning even though the Earth is not in the center, the sun would always be on January 5th of every year, always at the furthest point from Earth. So every January 5th, all right, I can always wake up in the morning and say, when I look to the sky, I'll see the sun. It'll appear to be furthest away from Earth. The problem is that's just not true, because let's say on January 5th, 2019, the sun appeared, or the sun was furthest away on that day, but the following year it happened on January 31st. So how do you explain that? How do we explain that the sun appears or is further away on different days if it's in a perfect circle? Okay, even knowing full well that the Earth is not in the middle, still, if it keeps going around in this circle here, it should always come to the same exact spot every year, being the furthest away. But it's not. Why not? The gova is what explains its discrepancy. Again, the easier answer would be going down the elliptical road, but we're going to ignore that. It took centuries to figure that out. But what the Aristotelians thought, or the Rambam thought, was that, no, there's something called the gova. The gova compensates for that difference. So because the gova itself moves, meaning the gova is affecting, so to speak, where the location of the circular orbit of the sun is, that would explain why on January 1st the sun appeared to be furthest away, and then a year later it will be on January 20th, because the actual gova itself, the furthest point from the sun, also moves. So that's moving, so to speak, it's moving where the orbit of the sun is located. Is it all right? So back to the Rambam. So now you get to the specifics. So gova hashemesh, okay? Now remember, that gova, that apogee, travels very slowly, okay? Every 70 years, it's only moving 1 degree in the sky, okay? So my example of January 5th to January 27th is obviously not accurate, because normally speaking, the sun won't be that off in its highest point every year or whenever it turns to that, but it does move. Gova hashemesh mahalcha b'chol asar yomim, shnia achatz v'chatzi shnia shi shloshim shlishios, okay? And if it's 10 days, it travels 1.5 seconds and 33rds. Again, that's a very, very, what do you call it? In 10 days, you see it goes very, very little. And just to show you, actually, just to make it easier before I get back into the Rambam, we have here, what's it called? The actual, what he's about to talk about here. So these are examples of what he's going to list. These are various positions of the gova. Okay, so in 10 days, the gova travels this far. 29 days, it travels 4 chalakim. 100 days, 15 chalakim. 354, which is the lunar year, the gova will travel 53 chalakim. 1,000 years would be, 2 degrees, 30 chalakim. And 10,000 years, 25 degrees. So this is how we understand the, 25 minutes, 25 minutes. You see how small that gova moves, but that little movement explains the discrepancy of the position of the sun being furthest from Earth. So the Rambam then says, he's going to go through these calculations quickly. Nimsa mahalcho b'mea yom, chamesh eshreshniyo. So in 100 days, it travels 15 seconds. U'mahalcho b'elef yom, shnei chalakim, u'shlishim shniyos. And of course, in 1,000 days, it's 2 chalakim, etc. U'mahalcho b'asaras alafim yom, chamishav eshrim chalakim. And in 10,000 years, it is 25 chalakim. V'nimsa mahalcho l'tishav eshrim yom, okay? And when it comes to 29 days, in 29 days, it travels arbashnios v'ot. So it travels about 4 seconds. U'mahalcho b'shana sedura, okay? And in a regular year, remember, regular year meaning where 354 days, or you have the alternating malei chaser by Kislev and Cheshvan, shlosh v'chamishim shnios, okay? 35 seconds. So you see, it's a very, very small movement. Now, that's the number one. Next. Kvar marnu, she ikir shemimenu ha'aschala b'cheshman zeh, hu mitchilas leil chamishi sheyomo shlishi l'chodesh nisan. So as we all remember, okay, and I assume remember this, that what is the starting date, okay, what's the starting date the Rambam always uses, okay, for calculating everything? It's always going to be Thursday night, okay? Remember, he's talking about his time, not the Yetzira time in his year. He's always calculating from Thursday night, which is the third day, Sheyomo Shlishi L'Chodesh Nisan, Mishnah Shmono Shloshim Chamios Arba Alefim L'Yetzira. So 4938, the year 4938 from creation, he's counting from that point in time. Okay, Umakom Hashemesh B'Mahalcha Haimtsai. So where was the mean position of the sun on that day? Hayo Be'Ikrazeh B'Sheva Malos U'Shlosha Chalakim U'Shnayim U'Shlishim Shnios Imazal Tala. So we knew on that day that the sun was located in the constellation of Aries. Remember, it's always traveling through each constellation. Each constellation is 30 degrees. So it was located 7 degrees, 3 chalakim, and 32 shnios in Tala. Okay? We know also in Nisan, that's always the Tala is always the constellation that the Masul, the Shemesh, that the path of the sun travels to. Now let's add in the Gova. Umakam Gova Hashemesh, Hayaba Iker Zeh. Where was the Gova located? Now the gova, the point where the sun will be furthest from the earth, okay, is going to be at 27 degrees, 45 minutes, and 8 seconds, which is located in Gemini. Again, think about that. The position of the sun right now is located in Aries, in that constellation. But the Gova, which eventually it will hit, is located in Gemini, okay? So you have to almost think of it as if two circles are moving. So, but again, not evenly with each other, but they're both moving slightly. So, Kishitirtsa lay the makam Hashemish b'malcha emsa b'cholzman Shitirtsa. Now, let's say you want to figure out the mean position of the sun, the position of the sun in any day, okay, in any day that you want, v'totzi mahalcha, kikach minin yomim shemitchilas yom ikar adi yom Shitirtsa. So, you take the number of days from the starting point until the day that you want to figure out. So based using the calculations in the previous prakim, basically you determine what it called the mean distance it's traveling during these days. So basically if you follow his calculations, you'll find out exactly where the sun is located on that day. Ketzad. Okay, so now he'll apply what he just talked about. Okay. So, we're in the year 4938, and what do we want to do? We want to know where exactly will the sun be located, okay, on Friday night, which is the 14th of the month of Tammuz. So how are we going to figure that out, okay? Matsanu minyan hayomim yoma ikar ad chilas yom zeh. Right, she'anu wrote some later, makom hashemesh bo me'ayom. So it comes out that from the beginning of the year of the count until this day in Tammuz would be 100 days. Okay, that'd be 100 days. That's the easy part. L'kachnu emsa mahalcha le'me'ayom. Okay, we take the average distance it will be traveling on over 100 days, which comes out to shehu 98 degrees 33 halakim and 53 seconds. Though saftu ala ikar shehu, we add to that amount. Okay, 7 degrees. 3 halakim and 32 seconds. Yatsa min hachashbon, what comes out from this is 105 malos v'shivo shloshim halakim v'chamesh v'esim shnios. What emerges from this, okay, is going to end up being 105 degrees, 37 halakim, and 25 seconds. So therefore, what do we see from this? Nimsa mekoma mahalech emsai b'tchilas lelzeh. Right, so now where's the sun located on Friday night of the 14th of Tammuz? Right, it's located in Mazal Sartan. It's going to be located in Cancer. Bechameshus malos bo, 15 degrees into it. V'shiva shoshim chalakim malos sheshes rev. Sorry, 15 degrees and 37 chalakim into Cancer. So now we've just positioned in the sky. We can point to, so to speak, our three dimensional sky model and know exactly where the sun is located on that day. Okay, for those who want to locate that. Okay, okay, now there's going to be times when these calculations, when it comes out, is that we're going to find out that the position of the sun comes out at night. Remember, you can't see the sun at night, but that doesn't mean it's not there. Or it may come out to an hour before sunset, or maybe an hour after sunset. But that doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter that we don't see the sun, we know it's there. Right? Because always keep in mind, even though it's not going to be 100% accurate, always keep in mind, what are we trying to find out? And I know we're going to get back to this at some point. The Rambam saying we're always looking to find out the sun. The moon. We're always trying to find out the mean position of the moon. This will all help us in trying to find that position out. Valderach hazos taaseh tamid lechol et shetirtzeh v'afilu achar elav shanim. You can always, following these calculations, you can work it out even to 1,000 years from now. Shetekabetz kol asheris v'tosif al ikar yetzel lecha makom emsoi. If you add everything that has to be added, divide properly, etc., you'll always come out and find the mean position of the sun. And the same will apply, which we haven't done yet, the same will apply when it comes to calculating the moon or any of the planets. As long as you know the path it takes on any given day, and you know the day you're starting off with. Again, using the same types of calculations and additions, you can always come out and find the mean position of any one of the planets or the moon. Okay, it also applies to the apogee itself. Tosid Mahalcha Beosam Yamim O Shanim Ala Iker Yitzilcha Makom Go Vashemesh Osi Yom Ayom Shetirtsa. So just like I can calculate the mean position of the sun, of the moon, of all the planets, I can do the same thing insofar as the apogee as well. V'chein im tirtza lasosecha ikar achar shetas lemenu chutz meikar zeb she hischalnu mimenu b'shanazu. Let's say I want to pick a different starting date. I don't have to pick the Rambam starting date. I could pick any starting date. I could pick January 1st, 2020. Kadesh yeh oso ikar betchilas shanas machzor yadua. As long as you know, obviously, right, that is, let's say, to make it simple, it's like the beginning of the 19-year cycle, or betchilas me'amin ameos, or it could be one of any years, 100 years, it doesn't matter. Harosh just biyadcha. Right, you're free to go do that. V'im tirtze lios ikar shetachim enom mishanim she'avru kodam ikar zeh, ol achar kam mishanim ikar zeh, haderech yidua. Okay, and if you wanted to, again, calculate using, any years in the past or future years, we know how to do this. The path is simple in knowing how to do that. Now, Kate said he had derech. How would you figure such a thing out? K'var yadata mahalech ha-shemesh l'shana sedura u'mahach l'tish of esim yom u'mahach l'yom echad. So we already know. We have in our book, we have the path that the sun travels over 29 days and the path that it travels over one day. We also know, as we should know this by now, that in any given year, right, where the months are full, is always going to be one extra day, okay? And any year where we have chaser months will always be, there always going to be one day less. And the leap year adds 30 days to the solar year. And if the months were all full, it would add 31 days, okay, in that leap year. And if it were the months were chaser in the leap year, it would add 29 days to the solar year. When you know all these things, okay, tim totsi mahalech emsa shemesh l'chol hashanim, you'll know the mean path of the sun in any year, v'yamim shetirtzeh v'tosev al ikar shasinu, and the days that you want, and you're going to add it always to the starting point we made, yetzi l'cho emsa l'yom shetirtzeh m'shanim abos. You can predict the future position of the sun, v'tase osa yom ikar, and that'll become your future starting date, or Tigra ha'emsa she'hotzeh min ha'ikar she'asinu, or subtract. You can subtract the mean distance it traveled. V'yitzeh l'cha ikar l'yom she'tirtzeh m'shanim she'avru, and that works backwards for years that passed. If you want to know where the sun was 1,000 years ago, you can figure that as well. V'tase oso emsa ikar u'gazet tase b'emsa yireach u'shar kochavim im yidum l'ach. You could do the same thing for the moon and the planets. Okay, u'gvar nizbar l'chal miklal dvarenu, and I've explained to you now all these basic principles. Shekashem shetida emsa shemesh l'chol yom shetirtze miyamim abayim kachdeda emsa l'chol yom shetirtze miyamim she'avru. So just like you can know all the future days of the position of the sun, so too you can always know the days of the past. So basically, just to sum it up, all the Rambam's basically told us in this second halacha, which is quite long, is basically he introduced the variable of the gova. That's very important to know. And also what he's trying to tell you is that all of these positions can be calculated out mathematically. Once you have the equations, you can know the location of any one of the sun, the moon, or the planets at any point in time, and you could also know the location of the gova at any point in time as well.